grace,
mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever done a paint by number? Do you remember doing paint by numbers as a kid? I myself remember two in particular from when I was growing up. One was a winter scene with trees and a sleigh in the background going down the path, and there's a church in the background on the way. And then the other one I remember was a clown on black velvet. Have you ever done a velvet painting? They're really neat. You know, sometimes it was hard to read the numbers, the way they were squished in those little tiny places. And then you had those super teeny tiny places with the number that was next to it with an arrow pointing to the teeny tiny place. And you had to be sure to paint all those little teeny tiny places first, or else you'll be wondering, now what number is supposed to go there? Now what color am I supposed to put? I'm speaking from experience. You know, you come back and you go, I don't know what color belongs there. Now the black velvet, it was really enjoyable to paint, but boy, you had to be careful not to get any paint on the velvet itself. And maybe you experienced this. You're painting along, and then you look up, and there's a smudge of paint on the velvet. Now, how did that get there? And you look at the bottom of your hand. Somehow, you just got a piece, speck of paint on your hand, and when you put your hand down to steady your painting, do you remember all those little paint containers with the flip tops and the numbers on them? All connected together, and the colors with the number to indicate where the specific color was to go. Now, there was only one way for the paint by number to turn out properly. And that one way is to paint by the number. No individuality of expression going or doing the things the way I want to do them. No creative switching of color. You know, I think I just might, instead of 17, I got plenty of number 5. I'll use number 5. It's a nice color. Instead of 9, you know, I can use 6. Now, you succumb to too many of those impulses of individual rebellion against the instructions, you're more than likely to end up with a painting that is unrecognizable, and it's a mess before your eyes instead of that beautiful picture. For the picture to turn out well, you as the painter, or may I say as the worker, need to submit to the instruction given. Submit to the one who created the picture and organized the colors. Have obedience, submission to the one who gave the instructions. In all honest truth, submitting is becoming more and more of a rarity in our culture. Rebellion and unruliness are far more common. For example, several incidents of the past months have illustrated the lack of respect in submitting to the authority of police officers in many places with tragic consequences. The truth is, do not resist arrest. Comply with the officer's commands, and you'll live to see another day. There would be no reason for force, let alone excessive force, to be used. But to speak that truth I just spoke is so politically incorrect. Let's take a moment and recall the living conditions of the people that Peter has addressed this letter. They were living in Asia Minor, and Peter was reminding them Jesus Christ is the true source of their hope in the challenging times. These Christians to whom Peter was writing were scattered. They were ill-treated, imprisoned, and taken slaves oftentimes. Becoming a Christian very often meant to be rejected by your family and watched with suspicion by many. And do not forget, Emperor Nero was becoming more brutal towards Christians. And Nero was losing his mind. He was going insane. And Peter writes to this very same group of people, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. The very same authority that was brutally subjugating them. And Peter writes to submit to that authority for the Lord's sake. Does that make any sense? Well, let's dig in. The word translated as submit in the Greek is hupostasso, with the meaning to subject oneself, to be obedient, that is to obey, to be subject. That carries a military understanding of arranged in that military fashion under the command of a leader, under the command of a leader, under the command of a leader, obeying down the chain of command. And the non-military aspect, it carries the sense of a voluntary attitude of giving in and cooperating. Submit is a conscious and willing subjugation to another person's authority. It is rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's. And they are to do this for the Lord's sake. And Peter pens that this is the will of God, to submit. That is honest, astonishing to consider. In the face of the brutality, the Christians are to submit. To turn the other cheek is another way to say this. They are to live such exemplary lives that baseless lies and rumors running rampant through Rome would clearly be seen as falsehoods. The accusations were that Christians were loyal to a different king and therefore they were seditious. Accusations they were rebellious sect who want to overthrow the government were just two of the many rumors. By living submissive lives, they would show the air of the rumors. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 really sums this up. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Four commands from Peter's pen. The New American Standard Bible says it this way: honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. These four commands from Peter summarize succinctly the heart attitude that will find itself willing to submit. Honor all people. Show proper respect. Our society has lost this attitude. There is a lack of respect for other people in general throughout the culture. But you, as a Christian and a servant of the living God, respect and honor all people. They are created in the image of God. Regardless of their faith, regardless of their lifestyle, regardless of the way they dress or the language they use, regardless of the way they smell, or regardless of the size of their sin, or even the attitude towards the Christian faith, honor and respect them. Give them no cause to curse you. No cause to speak a word ill of Christ. Again, Peter here reminds the believers to unconditionally love each other. Agape love for brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember the communion of saints. and love them all. Fear God. Have that reverence of the sovereign, holy, living God. He is supreme over all things. Fear God. Finally, the fourth one is honor the king. Respect the king or the emperor or anyone in authority over you, even though that same king or emperor may be executing the brethren of Christ. We need to remember, nowhere in the Holy Scripture is anarchy supported or encouraged. Anarchy is of the devil, the first to rebel. Slaves, submit to your master, even they are harsh. To this you were called. With that, let us bring Paul into this conversation. Remember, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Peter's position will agree with Paul's position, for they both write as the living God breathed it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now jump down to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do you hear and see the connection? As God's chosen people, we live in such a way that others may see Christ in us. All we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in such a way so those around us will see and desire to know the hope we have. And they would like to know the reason that we have hope. That reason, Jesus Christ. Daily life is the testimony of our faith in Jesus Christ. Peter writes as he does to help the believers see their life as a living testimony to Jesus Christ, giving no cause for the pagans, the Greeks, or unbelievers to speak ill words of Christ. Suffering may come for many. Suffering was a daily reality. So Peter tells of our Lord Jesus Christ there in 1 Peter chapter 2. He brings people's attention back to the Lord Jesus Christ, who left an example of suffering. Jesus, as a man, did good wherever he went, healing, teaching, showing compassion on the lowliest of the low, lepers, prostitutes, tax collectors. Religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they found fault with him wherever Jesus went. And they turned to scheming to get rid of Jesus. One of the 12 sold Jesus out with a kiss. He betrayed him. One of the inner three denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus was beaten, spit upon, scourged, thorns piercing his brow. Quietly and without rebellion, Jesus submitted to this suffering. He submitted knowing the joy that was to come. no resisting of arrest. In fact, he told Peter to put the sword away. No words of reviling came from his lips. He was like a lamb calmly and quietly led to the slaughter. No promise of revenge, or I'll get you later. As his arms were outstretched on the beam and the ringing of hammers hitting the heads of spikes to nail his hands and feet, the words of Jesus spoke are the most unexpected of all. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Unexpected. Father, forgive them. Jesus bore our sins on the cross so that we might die to sin. Die to sin and live for righteousness. Is it possible to live that way? Submit in such a fashion, even in the face of brutality, that people will see Christ in you? I bring up so that you do know it is possible. Again, Pastor Saeed Abedini. By his behavior, by his Christ-like response in the brutal conditions of Iranian prisons, he is leading people to Christ. By the way he takes what is given to him in the most ill-will fashion, he is leading people to Christ. The Lord will give you the strength, the patience, the endurance as it is needed, when it is needed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Peter is writing so that we live in such a manner that we will give no one cause to curse us or to curse our Christ. Live in such a manner that the Christ they see in you is a Christ they want to know about and will follow also. And learn to love as you love Christ. Verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 2. Live in such a way that you demonstrate these four commands. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Set this image in your mind. Again, using that illustration of paint by numbers. Christ is painting in you a beautiful picture. Your daily life situation is as unique as the numbers and colors Christ is using for you as an individual. Christ, through your daily experiences, is growing a faith in you that through them the picture he is painting in you is preparing your soul for the glory of heaven. And by the beauty Christ is painting in your soul, another soul may be awakened to the beauty of Christ. That's what Peter's writing about. And that's what you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, are to live. We are to submit and live such a way that we honor our Lord God. For the Lord's sake, we submit. It's the will of God that we submit. The end of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Have no fear, have no worry, for you have been forgiven, and you belong to Christ, the shepherd and overseer of your soul. So in the midst of all this submitting to even evil, Christ is watching over you. He's your shepherd. And he will see that you, your soul, is prepared for heaven, to be with him where he is. So live a life that reflects Christ. Brothers and sisters, show honor and respect to all people. Brothers and sisters, love your brothers and sisters here and the whole communion of saints. Love them. Honor, reverence, and fear the living God. And honor all those who are in authority over you so they may see Christ. So they may see Christ in you. Amen.